When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, but almost daily this week, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. So I'm taking a break in between working on my presentations for the Ignite Ann Arbor and Ignite Chelsea events that I'm going to be doing on February 9th and February 11th, respectively. Check the calendar on comicsaregreat.com for details. And actually, I did a blog post about it, too, right on the main page. But yeah, I'm taking a break to record a quick Thunder Punch Daily just because, going back to an earlier episode, I'm treating my work, all the various things I do, as distractions from other things. So, for instance, I'm about maybe a third of the way through my putting together my Ann Arbor PowerPoint. And I needed a break from it. So rather than go off and lay on the couch and potentially fall asleep, I thought I'd record the Thunder Punch Daily about the new comic that I did, Boulder and Fleet, Adventurers for Hire, which I posted today at comicsaregreat.com/blog. You can look in there. You can do a search on the site. There's a search bar if you're listening to this way after the fact. And as I said a couple episodes ago, set myself a deadline of getting the comic done in a week, and I pulled it off. And I'm going to do some blogging about it, explaining discoveries that I made, but because I care about you guys, the Supreme Storyers, I thought I'd give you guys the first reactions to finishing the books. I just finished it today. I mean, I posted it online probably about 15 minutes after I finished lettering the last page. And after, and I say 15 minutes because I actually went through and just did a quick scan of all the pages to make sure that there were no weird misspellings or any kind of weird problems in the way I integrated the word balloons. So I did a mini comic in a week. That means I'm going to get 52 mini comics done this year, right? Wrong. I could not do that every week. There's no way I could do it. The original idea was, this is where we get to sort of big headlines of my observations in doing this comic. I do want to say, if you haven't seen it yet, I would encourage you to, I'll put a link in the notes for this episode. I would encourage you to look at it real quick. You don't have to read the whole thing, but it is only 8 pages. But just to get a sense of how much work I put into it, okay? I mean, I did try to make it as good as it could be, given that I was only giving myself a week. It's not like I was doing stick figures or anything like that. But the big headline is that it was more work than I had anticipated. The idea was is I was going to replace my warm-up sketches every day with a mini comic page instead. And I set myself a deadline for 10 minutes for penciling and 20 minutes to a half hour for ink. So it's going to take a little bit longer than I usually give myself to do a warm-up sketch. Warm-up sketches usually take around 20 minutes or a half hour if I decide to color them. These pages, some of the pages, a couple of them took upwards of an hour to do. And that was me blasting through as fast as I could. And I did minimal cleanup on them. I mean, I did not fix a whole lot of things. I mean, if there was like a huge smudge on the page in my haste to finish the pages, sometimes I moved around the page before the ink was fully dry and I did make a few little smudges. So I fixed things like that. But as far as like lines crossing each other when they shouldn't, I left most of that stuff in because I wanted the work to not be too labored over. That was the whole point of this experiment. And I think it contributed to the overall feel of it too. It has like a roughness to it. I did run into digital cleanup problems, which I posted on the blog. And some people emailed me and posted comments on different means to correct the problems that I was running into. But in the end, I decided, A, I don't have time if I want to meet my deadline to really try out those different methods, as interesting as they sound, and I will try them with future books. But B, I liked the kind of rough look that this got because of the digital cleanup problems. I was, when I say digital cleanup, I penciled in blue line, I inked in brush pen, and I didn't. It was very difficult to. I usually balance my images or do digital cleanup by using the levels function in Photoshop. It's Apple L or Command L, or go to the menu and it's adjust levels. And in order to increase the exposure of the whites, in order to eliminate the blue lines, I lost some of the line value of the black lines, which was unacceptable to me. So I left it where some of the blue line sketch lines still showed up, but I was able to fix most of that by using the Dodge tool. And again, that's in my blog. But yeah, it was. Each page took about an hour. So replacing my warm up sketches every day with mini comics pages is not doable. I mean, I had to pull some late nights this week in order to make this comic happen. Normally, my day ends around 9 p.m. and I give myself a couple hours to actually be a human being. But I was working a couple nights until about 2 or 3 in the morning, between just trying to catch up on my regular workload plus this mini comic. So it did interfere with my week, okay? But that was also part of the challenge. The challenge was is to set a week-long deadline, let it completely consume my life, and then move on to the next thing. But as far as this challenge or this experiment being some kind of a statement to say, now everybody can make a mini comic a week, right? No, I don't think that's possible. Not until I speed up even more. Now, this is where, speaking of speed, the big surprise is that my lettering is not as fast as I would like. I letter in Adobe Illustrator. I'm pretty sure I've put together some tutorials both on the Art and Story video site as well as Art and Story Supreme. And I think I did a sound effect one, if I'm not mistaken. It takes a lot longer to do lettering than I remembered. It's been a while since I letter a page. So that's got to get faster. And I think it will get faster if I make some more WordBalloon templates, because one of the problems I was running into was I was modifying my WordBalloons a lot to give them an irregular elliptical shape. So they looked more hand-drawn. And especially the tails. I was really fighting with a size constraint here a lot. So that I had to put some tails on the balloons in really weird places. If you look closely, you'll see where some of them are, which meant that I couldn't use a lot of my stock tails. I had to custom make some new tails, and that takes time too. So lettering probably took about a half hour a page, which I wasn't expecting. I mean, you wouldn't expect that, right? I mean, you're just typing. You're not hand-drawing letters. It should go faster. But it didn't, and I think part of it was is that the funny thing is I was trying not to be precious about the artwork, but when it came to the lettering, I found myself getting very uptight and very very controlling about it. I wanted the word balloons to be absolutely right. And I think that part of that comes out of the fact that word balloons are the first thing we look at on the page. And when they're done poorly, it really sticks out. Also, I ran into a complication, which I documented in some past Thunder Punch dailies, in terms of the dialogue, because I did not dialogue the book at the thumbnail level like I typically do. So normally I would spend 2 to 3 days really going over the thumbnails with a fine-tooth comb in terms of all the story moments and dialogue moments. I didn't do that this time. I just jumped in and started drawing, which wound up being a good thing because like as I said in the past episode, I found a new theme that was there all along that I didn't expect was there because I was desperate to find something find a new theme when the theme I had intended on exploring didn't come through like how I wanted it to. So that was a nice reminder that writing is this very very much a back and forth kind of thing, but it would have sped up my lettering too if I had my dialogue figured out at the thumbnail level. I spend a lot of time kind of working out dialogue moments, you know, doing a lot of pacing, looking at the screen for a long time going, how would he say this? I didn't give myself as much time as I would have liked. You know, I set myself a time limit. You know, it's like, okay, I've been working on this page an hour, like on the lettering or something, you know, that's too much. Move on, you know, just leave it the way it is. But on average, each page took around somewhere in the neighborhood of a half hour to do. The other big surprise for me was just how, and I think I've said this before, being that busy, burning that hot creatively is an enormous morale booster. If you're feeling rotten about your work, I highly recommend trying to get some short project done in a very limited amount of time and really set yourself to do it. And that's why I publicized my experiment because I wanted to be accountable for this thing. And the panic was there. I was stressed about getting it done, but it wasn't a stress where like somebody was going to die if I didn't get it done. You know, no bills hung on this thing. So if I didn't make it, okay, I'm a little embarrassed, but I want to get it done because I want to come through like the hero at the end here, right? And what that does is it pushes out any room in your brain for any negative feelings. There were times early on when I was beginning, like I was on penciling page 2 or 3, somewhere in the neighborhood, where I felt a little bit of a creeping suspicion. Is this story any good? I don't know. I might be wasting a lot of time on something that's just going to be a mess when I'm done with it. And that would be disappointing. It'd be disappointing to me. It'd be disappointing to my wife because she's the one who I was writing this story for. And it would be disappointing probably to some of the storyers who were waiting for the comic. So that sense of, and I'm betting a lot of us feel this, and I'd be curious to hear if anybody else has ever struggled with this, is like when you're just in like the first third of the race, you begin to wonder, is this really going anywhere? Is this going to be any good? And, but the pressure to get it done pushed me past that. I heard myself say, look, Jers, shut up, just get it done. You'll figure out if it's bad later. And pushing on meant that I was confronting all these other problems that I've described, like in terms of the theme, in terms of running, not having enough room for the dialogue I wanted to use, and having to solve that. And in having solved those problems, that kept on boosting my morale. I'd come up against the roadblock. I would say, oh my gosh, this isn't going the way I wanted it to. It's a mess after all. And then I solve the problem. Oh, I feel great again. Time to move on to the next thing. And then another problem presents itself and I go through the whole thing over again. And in the end, I have a book that I'm pretty satisfied with. I created 2 new characters out of the ether. As of a week ago today, they didn't exist. I had no inkling of this story, and now I have a story. So there's that satisfaction at the end. But the real big one that I point to is just how being immersed in something like that, being lost in the creative process, is such an enormous... I'm trying to find the words for it. This is where you have to bear with me because I am so tired, guys. I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning last night working on my Chelsea presentation. I finished it at about like 3:15 in the morning. Got up this morning at 9 o'clock and looked at it again and realized, oh, I got to put another hour's worth of work into it. It's not right. I was too tired to finish it last night, even though I thought I was finished. But anyway, so yeah, just that sense of panic, that sense of the creative process just taking over your life. There's no, at least for me, this is only speaking for myself, I found there was no room for negative emotions anymore. And what's more is I always walked away with a really positive feeling because I was solving creative problems for myself. And that feels pretty good. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I would point at that was an interesting creative exercise. I did have to relinquish a lot of my comfort zone in terms of background elements. I've said before many times in the Art and Story podcast that I really enjoy doing mathematical perspective, like proper perspective, and rendering really detailed and nice looking backgrounds. It's a point of pride for me, and it's also something I really like doing in illustration, but that's what takes the majority of the time of my illustration pages. You know, I talk about living with the page for 20 hours. It's usually because I've got backgrounds like, you know, like a 3-point perspective shot of a cityscape in the background or something, or a massive crowd scene or something. I like doing it, but it just takes a lot of time. I didn't have that luxury with this book, so I answered that by saying, well, let's just approximate all of the backgrounds. Let's just do a quick, rough sketch of roughly what the perspective would look like, and let's not do anything too challenging. Let's not make the story dependent on the environment. Just suggest the environment. Just show roughly a fantasy / Wild West town. Don't go all crazy about it. And how did I render it? Well, if you look at the pages, I availed myself of dry brush effect with the Pentel color brush. This is something I've been playing with for the past year with my warm-up sketches, is trying to make my foreground characters, you know, drawing of Hordak firing a laser beam out of his hand, or He-Man swinging a sword, try to make them pop more by using very, usually what I would do is break out mechanical pens and do very fixed width, tiny thin lines to render the background. But the brush doesn't allow you to do that as easily. It's very tricky to do that. And what's more is if you go really slow, like with a rapidograph pen, you can move very slow and deliberately. But with a brush, the slower you move, unless you have a very, very steady hold or a steady movement of your wrist, the line is going to have a lot of wobble in it. The brush almost demands that you work fast, that you move quickly with your strokes. So I learned over the last year that some really neat, thicker dry brush lines give the same impression of distance and being out of focus as do very thin, razor thin chicken scratch lines or mechanical pen rapidograph lines. So I use that a lot for the backgrounds, and that sped things up a lot. What really took the most time in this book were a couple panels where there were like five or six characters in the shot. And inking them and inking them properly so that they, you know, popped right. That was what consumed the most time. There was one panel where I did a cheat, and it was really meant as a cheat. But what I got out of it was a nice looking shot that had some depth to it. And I think it's page 6. It's the page where the praying mantis guards attack Boulder and Fleet. They converge on him, and it's right after like the lizard guy, His Eminence, says something about, "I'm going to show you what real warriors can do." So it's the final panel on the page, and it's Boulder and Fleet looking apprehensive as they're about to be attacked. Now, the foreground characters I originally penciled to be finished drawings. I was going to draw all the lines on them, but I did a black fill on them instead, partially because I needed to get that page done and the clock was ticking. I was closing in on minute 45. I was inking that panel going, I got to get this one done. This thing's got to be done in under an hour or I'm not, this comic's not going to happen. So I filled them in with black as a expedient thing to do, but it wound up giving the shot so much more depth. And then that was the cue to me, and this is where these decisions can be made on the fly, on the page. I inked the foreground characters, I filled them in black, and then I inked Boulder and Fleet with solid lines. And then when I was looking at the background guards coming, I said, these guys should get a dry brush treatment, very thin dry brush lines to make them seem a little bit more out of focus. Now I've got a shot with a ton of depth, and it all came out of being panicked and having to solve a problem quickly. How can I get this panel done as quickly as possible without looking like I'm cheating too much? And it was a cheat, I admit it, but it was a cheat that worked. And I think that that's the kind of stuff that guys like Jack Kirby were pointing at when they said, I'll even talk about Todd McFarlane. We talked about, Wally Wood's rule of if in doubt, block it out. If you can't draw feet too well, put a bush in front of it. That kind of idea. The audience never knows. And as long as it looks good, what difference does it make if you cheated or got it done faster? As long as it looks good and it tells the story, right? So I guess that's the headline here is that... whatever tells the story is the big lesson in getting a mini comic done in a week. Finding out that I can tell a story in a week from soup to nuts is a satisfying feeling. I'd be curious if anybody else wants to try it and report their findings on it, see what they come up with. I've talked before about how I'm not a fan of the 24-hour comic idea. Just because that's a lot of physical punishment to put yourself through, just to see if what kind of comic you get out of the end. I don't imagine I'd create anything good out of that. But I do like these sort of extended versions, like do a comic in a week, do 30 characters in 30 days, or do a 6-page comic in 2 hours, something like that. Something where you're not investing quite as much time and taxing yourself as much to do it. That seems a lot more interesting to me because, after all, an 8-page comic is an incredible amount of work. You guys all know that. And rather than try to barrel through it in 24, 48, or 36 hours, why not just try to take 36 individual hours on top of everything else you got going on? Because you guys are all busy. And then see if you can pull it off. I think that's just as good a challenge. And you might wind up getting something a little bit more long-lasting, sustainable, or what's the word I'm looking for? Something that's a little bit more readable after the fact beyond just being a worthy experiment. I think that's a noble aspiration too. At least I think it is. Okay, so who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We couldn't do it without you. News. I'm going to have a new Comics Are Great up next week. I did another roundtable discussion with Casey Van Heys and Brandon Dayton and a new panelist. So stay tuned for that. We had a really good conversation about continuity. Next week's Art and Story will be, I believe, primarily about mini comics. So I'll have a lot more to add to that to the Thunder Punches next week to sort of to run as an addendum to that episode. I can't think of there's anything else to really get excited about right now. Other than, today was Mark Rudolph's birthday, January 28th. Everybody, if you haven't yet, go on the Twitters and wish him a happy birthday, or on the Facebooks and wish him a happy birthday, because comics wouldn't be the same without him. So, okay, I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
In today's story, Zagraz had a problem. He lost his confidence in himself because he had once failed. Well, now, we all fail sometimes, but we should never be afraid to try again. And we should always keep believing in ourselves. As the old saying goes, if at first you don't succeed, try, try again. Until later, bye.